The series is really focused on the question of how might we think about getting closer to God through the words of our fixed liturgy. And I want to take us on a journey on that exploration. And each week we'll look at a different prayer text to explore that question. But I want to take us on that journey through some of the words that, if you're a prayer, you've said these words many times, but maybe not looked at them through a certain lens or spent some time just sinking into the words and the questions that are built into them. So, well, we designed it this way. So we're going to have the opportunity to look at a very short prayer that is recited at every Jewish prayer service. And in a minute, I'm going to have you just spend a couple minutes reading it with a partner, reading it with a chavruta. That itself is an opportunity to encounter someone maybe that you don't know. That's a bonus. And if you learn with someone that you do know, I'll forgive you. But extra credit if you learn with someone that you don't know or don't know that well. Okay, so what we're looking at is the third blessing of the Amidah. The Amidah is the standing prayer that's recited in every Jewish prayer service. The content of that prayer shifts depending on the day, but the scaffolding of the beginning and the end is always the same. So the first three blessings, the last three blessings of the Amidah are always the same. And so this blessing is always going to be the same no matter which prayer service you ever enter into. That is to say, you have a lot of opportunity to encounter it. It's short, but just because it's short doesn't mean it's not packed with mystery and opportunity for interpretation. So don't be fooled by its brevity. And what I'm going to invite you to do is just hanging out on page one with this, the four lines or the five lines in the English. I'm going to ask you to read it out loud with a chavruta, with one other person. And just the goal is to ask as many questions as you can about it. I always say that the more advanced you are, the slower you go. So the goal is not to race through and finish. The goal is to experience wonder and curiosity. By the way, if you haven't seen these words before, you're ahead of the game because you don't have any associations, baggage, etc. If you're somebody who has seen the words before, you have to work a little bit harder, because then you might have some preconceived notions that I'm asking you to just put aside while you open this up for questions. And we're going to dive in. So I'm just going to invite you to turn to a neighbor, bonus points if it's someone you know less, and read the text on page one and ask as many questions as you can. So number one, you notice that it starts off descriptive. You are holy, meaning you are holy, and your name is holy. But then Yahalelucha, the verb, the first verb that shows up is actually not referring to God doing anything, but rather the Kedoshim are meant to praise God. And you made an assumption, but you said Kedoshim, we assume, would be us. I'm Kadosh, that we are the holy nation, and we are the ones who are indeed saying the words, presumably. Any other options, by the way, for who the Kedoshim could be? Yeah?
Angels,
right? That's another possibility, the holy ones above. And this is, I'm going to say this is purposely ambiguous. Kedoshim could be us or could be angels. We'll talk about that confusion in a minute. And then the word Sela, which doesn't seem, you put it into Google Translate and it said, what did you say?
One of the terms was basket.
A basket. Okay, so Gemara has a few understandings of the word Sela. The most commonly accepted in the Gemara is lanetzach, meaning forever, a forever verb, but it's or adverb, but it's not a word that actually has a translation. Some biblical scholars think that, because it is a biblical word, some biblical scholars think that it's some musical notation indication for the Levitical conductor, but we just don't know. So, but also, either it means forever, or we don't know, or it means something else. But then you got to ask, well, why would they use an ambiguous term? That, like, if they wanted to say forever, they could have said lad or lanetzach or something like that. Why would they use something that is ambiguous? Okay, those are some questions that you put on the table. Let's take some more questions. Yeah, and just say your name to the group.
I'm Nicole. We thought that the first three lines are so superlative that it almost renders the actual blessing at the end kind of like pointless in a way. Like if you wanted to compliment a friend who'd done a really good like music performance or something, you wouldn't say, oh, you're so talented and you're so talented and like I'm amazed at how talented you are. Like, it's quite funny that it's just, you start at such a high point, it's like, where do you go from there?
Great, okay, meaning a takadosh, can't get any better, right? You are holy, and if I'm gonna go with the holy theme, which apparently I am, right, then you're saying, well, like, I already covered it in the first two words. So I would say, number one, what's the distinction between you are holy and your name is holy? If I just said you're holy, what is, do I get anything by saying and your name is holy? And then you're saying, as I'm understanding you, and by the last line, blessed are you God, Ha'el HaKadosh, the holy God, am I just, is it a rerun on what I had just said in the first line slash the second line? Didn't I, wasn't that like 10, you know, milliseconds ago? So why do I have to like say it again? And does Ha'el HaKadosh add anything to Atah Kadosh? Okay, great. Other questions that you came up with? So we just introduce yourself to the group.
Shoshana Yulef, right? we were wondering about it. Like, it's like, I don't know if there's any other tefillot that are like, it feels like a placeholder for what's going to come at, like, for Kedusha.
Okay, so there's, you know, a prayer, or you might know a prayer called Kedusha, which is essentially an addition to, well, historically it's not totally clear, but let's assume that it's an addition to this prayer. In other words, if this is the base case prayer for the third blessing of the Amidah, where the purpose of it is to call God holy, we could say about why God's name, why God is called holy God. Okay, but it seems like holy is played out here. So now we have this other text, the Kedusha, which is, let's say, an expansion of this theme. And what's the relationship between this and the Kedusha? Or are you saying it's a...
The question is Kedusha an expansion of this theme, or is this like a condensed version of Kedusha? And then like, Nikadesha Shimcha Ba'olam, Kashem Shemakti, like, there's the idea of Kadosh comes up maybe these times, and so it's kind of, it's an echo of that.
Great. It definitely seems like this text, at least the core text of Kedusha is, do you remember? Kadosh, 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 okay? Which is a quote from Isaiah, where the angels, perhaps the Kedoshim, Isaiah goes to the heavenly abode and sees the angels praising God. So in other words, the praise, Kadosh, 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 comes out of the mouth of angels. Now, getting to Natalie's point, what's the purpose of repeating the word Kadosh? I already said, Atah Kadosh. What do I add by saying B'Shimcha Kadosh? Well, if it's simply about describing God as Kadosh, maybe I add nothing. But perhaps there's a goal where I'm saying, how many times does the word Kadosh show up in this short prayer? So, Atah Kadosh, one, B'Shimcha Kadosh, two, Kedoshim is not exactly the word Kadosh, but Ha'el HaKadosh is three. So if you count Kedoshim, it's four. But if you're going with Kadosh, Kadosh, Ha, Kadosh, then you get the three. There's certainly, you wouldn't be... could be forgiven if it called up in your mind the text from Isaiah / Kedusha simply by the repetition of the word Kadosh, right, that shows up in this very short 14-word paragraph. Like, Nikadesh et Shimcha Ba'olam, right, where the opening... Correct, right. So there's resonances between this text and Kedusha. We'll look at Kedusha, if we have time, a little bit later. And you're asking, is there a relationship to it? You know, the way, does anyone here daven Nusach Sfard? So in Ashkenaz, when we finish the Kedusha, we say, Ledor Vador, Ledor Vador, right? So we have that text that comes at the end of Kedusha, Ledor Vador Nagid Godlecha, we speak about your greatness, Ulenetzach Netzachim, maybe Sela, Kedushatcha Nakdish, and forever and ever we call you holy, or we praise you as holy. And then it ends, Baruch Atah Hashem El HaKadosh. But in Nusach Sfard, this is how they end Kedusha. Meaning that it's the same ending. The entirety of the blessing, which you're looking at here, also functions as the ending of Kedusha in the non-Ashkenaz liturgy. And so in that way, maybe this is a placeholder, as you were saying, placeholder, or maybe it's like, it's somehow related. And I'm saying,
maybe.
What's that?
Bookends,
or it's like, now that I said Kadosh, 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 this text makes way more sense because I just am repeating the word Kadosh, having said the quote from Isaiah, and that might explain some of the repetition. Or the executive summary, right, exactly. Kedusha can get a little long, and you get lost in the melody, and now it's like, people, let's bring it back to focus. God is holy. That's the message you're supposed to take away. Okay, great. Let's take a few more questions, because we also have, we haven't asked yet, but we were going to ask, what does it mean for God to be holy? Like, why is it so important that we call God holy? If God is holy, doesn't God know that God is holy, such that me calling God holy, what am I doing by doing that? Which gets to the whole question of why would I ever praise God with any adjective. But okay, let's hear a few more questions. Yeah, just introduce yourself.
Yeah, I'm Deborah. So I want to go back to, and then I'll come to, why do we say God is holy? That third line, one of the reasons I think it's the angels and not us is to start off calling God holy and God's name holy, and then to use the same word to describe us is chutzpah.
By the way, you know who has that chutzpah in the Torah? The only one who makes this claim? Hint, Parshat HaShavua, right? The whole people is holy. Kulam Kedoshim, right? So there's a little, so I'm backing up what you're saying, which is to say, if it's referring to us as Israel, then it's a little bit chutzpahdik to use the same word to describe us as Kedoshim, as it does to describe God, especially if we know that their resonance is to Korach, who is making a sort of rebellious claim by saying that we are all holy. What's the normal way that we refer to? It's true that we have Am Kadosh. So at some point, the Jewish people, it's more ambiguous than it sounds right now, because Am Kadosh is also from the Torah, although it's from Devarim. But how does Vayikra, Kedoshim, T-U, right? You shall be holy, which means you're not holy now. You should strive to become holy, even though there's an asymptotic relationship with that goal. You will never be holy, but you should try to become holy. God is holy. You should try to imitate God. You will never become God or reach that level of holiness, but it's your driving motivator. And that seems to fly in the face of the idea of Kedoshim. You've reached that status as referring to us, although I'm still reserving some ambiguity there. Okay, Kedoshim b'chol yom Yahalelucha. Anybody have a problem with Yahalelucha? Problem's a strong word, but did it stick out to you? Meaning, Atakadosh v'shimcha, what would you have expected? Atakadosh v'shimcha kadosh u'kadoshim b'chol yom verb Baruch Ata Hashem ha'el ha'kadosh. Yeah, some kadosh, I know this, I can sense this pattern, like I don't have to be fluent in Hebrew to figure out that every non-noun is the word kadosh. So the fact that I'm saying Yahalelucha, where I could have said Yakadishu, or something other than Hallel, is a little bit eye-opening here just to strengthen this question. Let's take a look at page 3. Atakadosh, this is the Eretz Yisrael version of the same blessing. So Eretz Yisrael version, meaning the version that the land of Israel tradition that emerges in, like, let's say, the same period as the Jerusalem Talmud. So like the, you know, 4th, 5th century in the Galilee. They had their own version of the Amidah, which was lost to time until it was discovered in the Cairo Geniza and published by Salman Schechter in 1898. So this was like buried for 1,000 years. Then they dug it up, brought it over to Cambridge, England, published it in the Jewish Quarterly Review, and the 6 people who read the article were like, wow. But we have the Eretz Yisrael version of this bracha. Bottom of page 5. Atakadosh v'shimcha kadosh, right? Same beginning. Atakadosh v'shimcha kadosh. But instead of ukadoshim b'chol yom yalu chasela, you have rather Ulecha Yomru Kadoshim Kadosh. Now you have Yomru instead of Yakdishu, which you could have in other versions. But what you're saying is not Hallel. They're saying Kadosh. This one's even tighter on the Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Right? Atak Kadosh, 1, Shimcha Kadosh, 2, Ulecha Yomru Kadoshim Kadosh, 3. And then Baruch Atah Shamayel HaKadosh is how this ends. So all I'm saying is that the word Yahalelucha should stick out a little bit, because you shouldn't have had a verb that is Hallel. You should have had some verb that is Kadosh or Lomar Kadosh, right? Which is what we actually have in an alternative version. Okay, I'm going back to page one. Other questions. We're going to get to some answers, by the way. You notice there's some other pages. So don't worry about it. And we're going to finish at 8.
I'm Donald. What's the significance, we were discussing the significance between saying that God is holy and saying that God's name is holy.
Yeah.
What's the name, what's the
great. So,
reality of the name?
Good. Good, right? And notice, Atakadosh Vishim Chagadosh is constant in both Eretz Yisrael and the Bavel version. So whatever it is, it's significant. It's stable. It's an important part of the bracha. So if I say that you are Kadosh, what does it mean to also call your shame Kadosh? You know, from the end of Aleinu, which is also Zechariah, Bayomahu Yeh Adonai Echad Ushmo Echad. On that day, meaning in the future, God will be one, and his name will be one. What does that mean? What are we talking about? If God will be one, isn't that enough? And if God's one and his name, does it mean God will be one? God will be one with God's name? Adonai Ushmo Yihyu Echad? If they're not one right now, what's going on? I thought we were sort of we weren't on the multiple expressions of God team. So all I'm saying is we've had this problem in other places as well, where we have the word shame, which seems to be a separate thing, even though it seems extraneous. So what's the point of saying Shimcha Kadosh here when you, as Natalie was saying, when you already said Atah Kadosh? All right, we're going to follow that lead in just a second. Let's just get one more. Yeah, did you want to introduce yourself? Were you raising your hand? No. Yeah. Oh, please, yes. Say your name. Hello.
Well, it's more of a comment, but...
Ah, a Jewish question.
Arguably, many of them have been comments.
Fair enough. You can just end with the sentence, wouldn't you agree? And that ends in a question, yeah.
Maybe I'm being a little, like, reductive or too faithful with it, but to me, I love just that it's, like, very crisp,
mm-hmm.
and it's very clear. Like, you are holy, and your name is holy. Like, those are mutually exclusive things. Like, and I think the Geniz is a great example of how we've interpreted that. Like, your name is holy. So both of those things are two. And then, like, I just read it as, like, we become holy through the act of praising you every day.
Mm-hmm.
And then we end it by doing that very thing. Blessed are you, God. We just did it.
Great. You have no problems with this bracha.
No.
Non-controversial bracha. By the way, it's there are a lot of brachas in the Amidah that bother Jews. And they grit their teeth, or they rewrite it, or they don't like this. Oh, let's add the Imahot. Let's cut Redeemer, whatever. Resurrection, that's bothersome. This one, I'm good. God is holy. Still on that program. I'm creating problems where there don't need to be any, is what you're saying. Okay. What? So I do, please. Say your name, Sigrid.
Sigrid. Did you say that the name is separate?
Yeah, no, like I think...
Meaning it's a distinct term.
Yes, it's a distinct thing. Like,
right.
Distinct term, but I'm not so sure a name isn't a reflection of a person, so it might not be really...
that different. Let's hope, if we are a monotheistic.
Thing about it, I think it's saying, like, okay... God, like you, like everything you do, like everything about you is holy, and your name itself is something that we should treat as.
Well, yeah, you're.
The name we become holy.
That's the third point. Yeah.
One, by two, saying three. The name, we become.
We become the Kadoshim, or we're working towards that.
We're working towards it because, of course, we can't ever be as holy.
Ultimately, yeah. The asymptotic relationship. All right, wait. I want to follow a couple of these leads. Will you let me do that? This is what I want to put forth as my general approach. Why are these words here? Why are they said in this way? Vicky knows the answer. Because the Siddur quotes the Bible. In other words, each phrase of the Siddur is in dialogue with the Bible. You know this from Kedusha. The Kedusha literally quotes the Bible, right? Kadosh, 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 Adonai Tzvot. It's just a quote from the book of Isaiah. But I'm saying also these lines quote the Bible. And when you put them in dialogue with the biblical source, you arrive at other interpretations that might lead us to a deeper connection to the words. And I'm going to argue, bring us closer to God. Let's talk about God being holy. If I say to you, God is holy, your mission in this blessing is to call God holy. Where does that leave us? Now, one strand that I heard here is we can try to strive to be holy. But functionally in the Bible, what holiness means is not, yeah, exactly. Holiness is not like, this is glowing with a halo. It's, no, it means separate, right? Kadosh means it's not available to everybody. The Kadosh, the Kodesh Kodashim, who has access to the Holy of Holies? Pretty much nobody. One guy once a year, right? The high priest. That's, you could enter into that space. But Kodesh means screened off, sectioned off, not available. Maybe angels, Kadoshim, maybe they have access. We don't. Okay? So if I'm saying Atah Kadosh, Vishimcha Kadosh, let's say those are important, distinct characteristics, they both end in Kadosh. So whatever I'm doing, I'm calling God separate from us. That's what I'm putting on the table. But I'm going to take it off the table and go the other direction with it, which is, yes, it's true that Kadosh means separate, but when we look at the ways in which this plays out in the biblical text and certainly how the rabbis understood it, it actually flips it on his head. And God's holiness, God's status as holy, doesn't necessarily mean that God is far and distant and separate from us. In fact, God might be very close to us. So let's play this out with a couple of examples. All right, flip over to page 2 with me. Wouldn't you know it, and this is part of why I love this bracha, these phrases come a total of one time in the Bible. That is to say, it's not a question about where I'm going when I say Atah Kadosh. The place where I'm going is this place in the Bible, because there's only one option, okay? So I'm in Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is not a psalm that we recite in davening because it is third rail psalm. There's a lot of problems. There's a lot of theological complaint. This is probably top five complaining psalms. And you'll see why. Okay, so let's read it. Eli, Eli, lama azavtani. Who says that famously? Jesus. Okay, so another reason, perhaps, why we don't quote this directly in the liturgy. Okay, but before Jesus, it was in Psalm 22. My God, why have you abandoned me? You are so far from delivering me and from my anguished roaring. My God, I cry by day, you answer not, lo ta'aneh, by night, and have no respite, velo dumiali. All right, so up until now, verses 2 and 3 of this Psalms, sounds like me and God have some issues, right? God has abandoned me. God is not answering me. God is in silence, dumia, has no expression towards me. We are not in the same place, me and God. Where does our phrase come in? Pasuk Dalid. Ve'ata kadosh, yoshev tilot Yisrael. What's the vav there? You can see ata kadosh, you are holy. The but, right? Vav, which we often translate as and, but could also equally mean but. However, but you are holy, Yoshev Tilot Yisrael, dwelling on the praises of Israel. Where do we have praises in our bracha? Yahalelucha. Exactly. So I'm saying, what I'm arguing is that this bracha is referring to this psalm and this verse from this psalm twice, two times over. One is Atah Kadosh. That's like a freebie. It's like a direct quote. Atah Kadosh, ve'atah kadosh. But the second one, which you have to just do a tiny more thinking about, is why does it say Yalucha? Well, you have Tilot, same root, Hallel, to praise. God, you are holy, dwelling on the praises of Israel. In you, our ancestors trusted. They trusted, and you rescued them. To you they cried out, and they escaped. In you they trusted, and were not embarrassed. So I see this as a turning point in this psalm. If all you do is read verses 2 and 3, again, very Jewish psalm. God, where are you? You've left me. You've abandoned me. You're not answering me. Everything's quiet and silent. There's no relationship that we have here. But you keep on reading. You say, Va'atah Kadosh. And now you see Atah Kadosh functions as the turning point in this relationship. Because once you're in verses 5 and 6, the psalmist taking heart in the fact that God has had a relationship with my ancestors. I know that God can answer because it's happened in the past. And the turning point line, which I'm saying is our verse, Vat HaKadosh, Yoshev Ti Lot Yisrael. God is not actually far away, abandoning us, never to be seen or heard from again, but rather, Yoshev Ti Lot Yisrael. God is dwelling on our very praises. That is to say, when I praise God, Yalelucha, when I praise God, God draws near in order to dwell in that space, right? Yoshev, God is not Yoshev Marom, God is not dwelling above, rather God is Yoshev Ti Lot Yisrael. God is dwelling actually on the prayers that we are saying with our mouths in this moment. You want to say? Just introduce yourself.
I'm Nina.
Okay.
And here it is the Israelites who are praising, not angels.
Okay, exactly. Right. So this is where the ambiguity on the Kedoshim, we were making a lot of arguments for Kedoshim not being Israel. I was like, that's Korach. But here you also have the possibility that the Yoshev Ti Lot Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael, and Kadosh are aligned in that verse. Let's just see. The rabbis read this verse in this way. Look at the second box down. Rishmo Bar Chia, Rabbi Yudan said in the name of Rabbi Chanina, for each and every praise, al kol shevach vashevach, for each and every praise that Israel praises the Holy One, God causes the Shechina to rest on them. Them probably meaning the Israelites, or maybe the praises. What is the proof? Atakadosh Yoshev Ti Lot Yisrael. Whenever you do Hallel, your Halleling brings God close. You think God is far. You think God has abandoned you. But actually, when you praise God, it's sort of like acting as if God is available to me, as if God is close, then God actually does draw close. God's Shechina, God's dwelling, indwelling presence, arrives and comes towards us. Did you want to add?
Is it also possibly a descriptor of what holiness means for God?
Say a little bit more.
That God's holy in listening to us. God's holy in drawing close to us. God's holy in dwelling with us.
Okay.
Holiness.
Amazing, right? And this would flip on its head our understanding of the word kadosh, not only applied to other things like vessels that are kadosh, you can't touch them. If you touch them, you will be zapped. Check out, you know, Uzziah catches the ark from falling and is zapped as a result. Or Nadav and Avihu, exactly, right? So the kadosh, as the base case of kadosh, is you can't touch this, literally. But there is a way in which God shows up as close through kadosh, and I'm going to strengthen your point by looking at Shimcha Kadosh. So just flip the page. So flip with me to page 3. Now we're actually on page 3. Atah Kadosh v'Shimcha Kadosh. We were saying, once we call God Kadosh, why do we have to call God's name Kadosh? And what's the difference between God's name and God? So there is a general sort of approach to the word name in the Bible, which is the way we think of Shechina is how the Bible thought of shame. That is to say, shame is the aspect of God that is more available and relatable. It's not a different God, it's not a different being, just like Shechina isn't a different being, but it is an expression of God's closeness, shochein, meaning dwell, that's Shechina. Shechina is the dwelling part of God, the part that is more available to us. So you recognize some of this from other davening pieces, but look at the top page 3, a quote from Isaiah. Kicho amar, Ram v'nisa shochein ad v'kadosh shemo, right? You know that from davening. How's it go? Shochein ad marom Ram v'nisa v'kadosh shemo. So that's what that liturgist did. They're like, I'm reading Isaiah. I'm like, I can just juggle this a little bit, and then it'll fit this nice melody that we all sang. Okay, so thus says the lofty and high one who dwells forever, Shochein Ad, forever, La'ad, and holy is his name. Why does it say God's name is holy in our bracha? Because it's referring to this verse, Kadosh Shemo, meaning this is the place where that shows up in the Bible. Lofty and holy do I dwell, Marom v'kadosh eshkon, but ve et dakau shfal ruach, but with him who is crushed and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of those crushed. Meaning, the verse starts off with God very far away. It's like, it's pulling a fast one on you. It's saying, God is holy and it's just what you thought. God dwells on high. God is not available. God is far away. But then it switches and says, I dwell with those who are crushed and lowly in spirit, in order to lahachayot, to give life to those who are low in spirit. By the way, what's the bracha that we had right before this bracha? Bracha number two, right? Michaye Amitim, who gives life, l'achayot, who gives life to the dead. So, but there's also other people in that bracha that God is helping, right? Somech noflim v'rofei cholim u'matir asurim, right? God lifts up those who are fallen and heals those who are sick and releases those who are bound. Let's just look at the Midrash on this. Rabbi Alexandri said, a regular person, if they use a broken vessel, it's a degradation to them, right? If I serve you with chipped bowls and plates, you're like, what's going on? Why are you giving me this, you know, broken vessels? It's a degradation to me. I'm insulted by the way you're serving on these plates. But the Holy Blessed One, all the vessels God uses are broken. As it says, Adonai is close to the brokenhearted in Psalm 34, and Harofei Lishvurei Lev, who heals the brokenhearted, Psalm 147, and our verse, Ve'etakau Shval Ruach La'chayot Ruach Shvalim U'la'chayot Lev Nidka'im, right? But with him who is crushed and lowly in spirit to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of those crushed. That is to say, broken vessels is what God loves. It's not a degradation to God. We, as broken humans, don't insult God. God wasn't like, well, I don't want to hang out with those guys. They're all chipped and shattered. It's like, no, actually, that's where God hangs out, with the lowly of spirit. Right? So the Atah Kadosh, sorry, the Shimcha Kadosh, I'm arguing, if Atah Kadosh is like step one, Yoshev Tilot Yisrael, Atah Kadosh, you dwell on my praises, Yalulucha. Step two is, Shimcha Kadosh, you dwell with those who are lowly and broken. So Kadosh is actually not separate here, but with us. Yeah.
Does that close the door on reading Ukadosh Shim as meaning us? Because the only way that this bracha can get us close to God if we're not
the Kadoshim. Yeah. So again, I think the Kadoshim in line three like can go either way. Let's explore that. Well, wait, I can't resist this one because it's too good. Turn to page four for a second. I'm going again on this verse. Ve'et daka u'shfal ruach, Rav Huna v'Rav Chista. How does God dwell with the lowly of spirit? Rav Huna and Rav Chista offer differing interpretations of this verse. Again, we're in the same verse of the Shimcha Kadosh. One says the verse means the crushed person comes up to me, and the other says that the verse means I, God, come down to them. Right? What's the way in which we become close to God? So one is, we become like the angels. Nikadesh shimcha ba'olam, kashem shemakti shimoto bishmei marom. We're going to praise you now. We're going to call you holy, just like the holy ones do up in heaven. That's us going up, right? With our heels. We're going to get closer to God by going up. But in fact, another way of seeing it is, God comes down. Yoshev tilot. Our tilot are here. Right? That's where the praises are. God's going to come down to our level. You want to say?
Why does this make Kadosh not mean separate, though? Because separate doesn't mean rahok, it means distinct.
Okay, fair enough. So if
that's why Kadoshim or Yoshev, and that's why Kadosh Yoshev.
Yoshev Tilot Yisrael. Yeah, good. Okay, so if you don't read it with the connotation of being distant, which I think is the assumption that at least the verse in Isaiah says, you're up in Marom, you're up high away. But now I'm going to flip it on you, and actually you're with the Daka Ushfal Ruach, but you're saying Kadosh is, it's not that God melds with us, it's that God is distinct, but God is nevertheless with us, and we are together. Okay, let's just look at one other piece here. You hinted to it, but let's just say it. I'm wrapping up in the middle of page five. So just... Again, here's something that we say all the time in davening. Ashrei Yoshvei Veitecha Od Yalelucha Sela. Yalelucha Sela is literally what we say in this bracha. It's just a straight up quote from Psalm 84, which we call Ashrei, but which is the line that's appended to Psalm 145, right? But Ashrei Yoshvei Veitecha Od Yalelucha Sela Ukadoshim B'chol Yom Yalelucha Sela. I'm laying this out in this chart here to maybe emphasize what for Team Kadoshim is the Jewish people. You've got Ashrei in your corner, right? Because just look at the parallel. Yoshve Ve'Techa and Kadoshim, we are the Yoshve Ve'Techa, right? And Kadoshim, if it's parallel, Od is parallel to B'chol Yom. Od is like La'ad, meaning forever, every day. And Ya'alu Chasela is parallel to Ya'alu Chasela. Or another saying is, why do we say the word Sela in our bracha? The answer is, because it's taking you over into Psalm 84. Like, that's just what it's doing. So it's now backing you into the possibility that Kadoshim might be us, as opposed to only the angels. And the Rokeach, who's a medieval commentator on the Sidur, basically emphasizes this ambiguity. Look at the top of page 5. Kadoshim b'chol yom yuluchasela. Yisrael shenikru kadoshim. V'gam malachim shenikru kadoshim. He's like, what is kadoshim referred to? It's Israel and it's angels. Can I hold both at once? The Rokeach can. So might we. All right, now I'm going to end with just one last view on this, which is if you flip to page 6, we'll do Kedusha another time. There's a lot there. But if you flip to page 6, this is another quote from Isaiah. Why do we say, Baruch Atah Hashem Hayel HaKadosh? Hayel HaKadosh, not going to surprise you, shows up one and only one time in the Bible. Okay, so this is just like a straight up quote. Line 1, quote from the Bible, Psalms. Line 2, quote from the Bible, Isaiah. Line 3, Ya'alu Chasela, quote from the Bible, Psalm 84. Line 4, Hayel HaKadosh, quote from the Bible, Isaiah chapter 5. And what does it mean for God to be Hayel HaKadosh? We won't read the whole selection here, but let's just say humans are being castigated for being immoral in this section of Isaiah. Skip down to verse 15. Humans are bowed low and man brought down, and the eyes of the haughty are brought down. We humans tend to be haughty, but God is going to lower the haughty. But Vayigba Adonai Tzivaot b'mishpat, but God, Tzivaot, is exalted in mishpat, in justice, and Ayel HaKadosh, that's our term, is nikdash b'tzedaka. God is called kadosh by being righteous, right? Mishpat and tzedaka is the byword of kadosh. So kadosh may mean separate or not separate. It may mean close to us or not. But here it means God is just, humans aren't. And humans, you can be just. It's not like a fixed state. It's a goal, right? You should try to become a being who embodies tzedakah u'mishpat. So when I call God Hayel HaKadosh, I'm not just, it doesn't make sense to call God holy. God knows that God's holy. I have to be doing something else. And here, through this quote, I'm arguing we're calling God the one who embodies, in contrast to humans, mishpat u'tzedakah, and that's our goal as well. So I'm arguing to you there's a lot packed in to this 14-word bracha that we say all the time. Once we open up the biblical resonances, you get to other interpretive places. And if you want to go on further journeys in the prayer book with me with this approach, come back next Tuesday at 7 o'clock.